Well, how y'all doing? Y'all doing good?
Good.
My name is Ron White, as you know, and I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to be here. And one of the reasons that I'm excited to be here, I've been doing this for 14 years. I've had the good fortune of traveling around and sharing with people that they are the greatest computer in the world. By far, bar none, without exception, Danny, you are the greatest computer in the world. Nothing can compare to you. And whether you want to admit it or not, sitting right next to you here in Erica, she is one of the greatest computers in the world. I've had the good fortune of teaching this seminar to people, Oscar, and I've watched them memorize speeches without notes, memorize chapters of books, recall people's names and faces. Let me ask you this question, Jamie. Do you believe in here that each and every one of you, you have the ability to meet a room full of people, say 50 people, and then remember their name after you do that? Do you think you could meet 50 people and remember their name? No? Well, you have that ability. You have the ability, whether you know it or not, you have the ability, Chip, to meet 100 people and then 10 minutes later repeat their name. Your mind has the ability to memorize a 40-digit number and say that. How many of you think in here I could give you 40 numbers? You could listen to them, never see them, and then after you do that, you say those 40 numbers forwards and backwards. Anybody think they could do that? No, okay, all right. I got some work cut out for me this morning. Okay, all right. Skeptics, right? The show me state. That's, is that where we're at? I would like everybody to stand up, if you would. I didn't get a chance to shake anybody's hand before we came in today, but I did get a chance to meet you. And Elizabeth, I met you via reading your name tags, correct? We didn't shake hands for the most part. I just read your name tags. This is what I want you to do. While y'all were sitting out there, I was reading your name tags and finding out who you are. I'm going to see if I'm able to meet 50 people, read their name tags, and then 10 minutes later repeat their names. This is what I would like you to do. Whenever I point to you, and if I call off your name, I would like for you to have a seat. I'm going to start over here. I'm going to call off the names. When I call off your name, have a seat. So that means Jamie, you can have a seat. Joshua, you can have a seat. James, you can have a seat. Asia, you can have a seat. Bob, you can have a seat. Justin, you can have a seat. Jennifer and Elizabeth and Mitch and Glenn, you can have a seat. Jeremy, you can have a seat. Doug, you can have a seat. Butch, you can have a seat. Brett, you can have a seat. Caleb, you can have a seat. Justin and Kim, you can have a seat. Marshall, you can have a seat. Diana, you can have a seat. David, James, you can have a seat. Chip, you can have a seat. Oscar and Juanita, y'all can have a seat. Joe, you can have a seat. Ania, you can have a seat. Linda and Erica, you can have a seat. Danny, you can have a seat. Mark and Christy and Blair and George and Steve and Emmy and Bob and Amber and Liz and Stephen and Wanda and Tom and Paula and Gary and Ronald and I got it. Edwina, you can have a seat. All right, all right. Scared myself. Okay, all right. Let's start over. No. Jeff, you can have a seat. Arm, you can have a seat. Teresa, you can have a seat. Donna and Katie and Lindsay and Andromeda and Tony and Stuart. Tony Stewart. Okay. You can have a seat. Some of these jokes are just for me. Lance, you can have a seat. Carrie, you can have a seat. And Mark, you can have a seat. Is that everybody? Okay. Yeah. Guys, now here's the good news, and I do mean that this is good news. The good news is this. You're not here today because Ron White's the only guy in the world who can do that. If Ron White's the only guy who can do that, I'll give Ringling Brothers a call up on the phone, right? And I'll go join the circus. I'm here because I can teach anybody how to do that. It's not a special ability, Justin, that's attributed to Ron White. We all have that ability. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. We all have the greatest computer in our world. In the world up here in our minds. Brett, let me ask this question. If you and I were to sit down and we're to have lunch together, and in that conversation, if you and I were to talk, what's the one thing that you think that you would want to talk about? What is your favorite subject or what is your favorite topic? Is it money? Is it sports? Is it politics? Is it your family? What's your favorite topic, Brett?
Scripture memory.
Okay, very good. And I can show you how to memorize some scripture. Justin, what about you? What's your favorite topic or your favorite subject?
Let's say sports.
Sports. You have a favorite sport?
Yeah, baseball.
Baseball. Do you have a favorite team?
Mm-hmm. Texas Rangers.
Texas Rangers. Okay. Do you have a favorite professional team? All right. No, just kidding. Texas Rangers is my favorite team, too. I wrote a book on baseball. Part of it was Texas Rangers. I love the Texas Rangers. Anita, what about you? What's your favorite subject?
Music.
Music. Do you play an instrument?
No.
No. Okay. You just listen. Do you have a favorite style of music you like to listen to? Contemporary Christian. Rich Mullins is one of my favorite singers. Erica, what about you? What's your favorite subject?
My family.
Your family. Okay. Very nice. Now don't y'all feel so bad, right? Okay. Bob, what about you? What's your favorite subject?
Oh, news and politics.
News and politics. Okay. I'm right there. And the last one, Elizabeth, what's your favorite subject?
Our pineapple.
Your family as well. Guys, if I would have went around the room and if I would have asked everybody their favorite subject, Arne, more people might have said their family, or they might have said politics or money or sports or reading. Juanita, a lot of different responses come up when I ask that question. And I mentioned before, Jamie, I've been asking that question for 14 years. I've heard all of the responses. I ask you that question for two reasons. Christy, the first reason that I wanted to find out what your favorite subjects were is I wanted to illustrate a point. There was a book, and it was written a number of years ago by a guy named Dale Carnegie. He wrote one of the best-selling books of all time. I can see some of you nodding. You know the book. By a show of hands, how many of you in here, or just blurt it out, what was Dale Carnegie's best-selling book?
Think and Grow Rich
was a great one, and you said that with such conviction, Danny, I almost believed you. That was Napoleon Hill. Okay. That's okay, though. Hey, I would rather you say something and it be wrong than not say anything at all. So Napoleon Hill, get Think and Grow Rich. It's a good book. But there's another book Dale Carnegie wrote. What was the name of Dale Carnegie's book? How to Win Friends and Influence People. By a show of hands, raise your hand if you've ever read How to Win Friends and Influence People. Very good. Sharp group. It's one of the best-selling books of all time. And Lindsay, when Dale Carnegie was writing this book, when he was doing research for his book, Lance, he discovered two important money-making facts. Facts that can help us in the business world today. And that fact, the first fact is this. Everybody's favorite subject is actually what? Themselves. You better believe it. Me. You know what Ron White's favorite subject is? Ron White. All right. That's true. If you don't believe me, just talk to me for a while. And the same goes with you. The second fact that comes out of that book is just in the sweetest sound to a person's ear, universally, in any language. What do you think it is? Their own name. Exactly.
We'll be right back.
Now, be honest with me, knowing that everybody's favorite subject is themselves, and the sweetest sound of their ears is the sound of their own name. Honestly, Glenn, now just be honest, okay? We're all friends here, right? Has it ever happened to you that you're shaking somebody's hand in a business situation or a social situation, Bob, and 2 seconds after that handshake breaks, you're looking at that person, and you're thinking, what did they say their name was again? Right? Has that happened to anybody in here? Sure. And when that happens, what do? We try to be sneaky, right? We try to get the, or some of us are honest. I'm sure Elizabeth is honest. Some of us, Jennifer, we're a little bit more sneaky, right? We'll, the ones who are laughing, Marcus is a sneaky person, okay? We're a little bit sneaky. We'll say, I just want to make sure that I spell your name properly, right? And what do they say? J-O-E, right? Or there you go. Or B-O-B. And you're thinking, oh, okay, good. Well, I didn't know if I had 3 B's or 2. That's why I was asking, right? If we were completely honest with the person, we would say, a couple minutes ago when we were introduced, I wasn't even listening to you, right? That's the honest approach. That's not the popular method. It's the sneaky method. My name is Ron White, Brett. Both of those are pretty easy to spell, right? R-O-N, that's pretty easy. White, just like the color, that's pretty easy to spell. I was on the phone with a woman recently, 6 months ago, and at the end of the conversation, it was a business call. She said, sir, could you tell me how to spell your name? And I've been teaching memory seminars for 14 years, Glenn. I knew she'd forgotten my name, and I was kind of in a playful mood. So I said, don't worry about the spelling. It's spelled exactly like it sounds, right? Yeah. I thought it was funny, too. She didn't. There was a pause on the other end of the line, and she said, well, that's great, sir, but would you mind sounding it out for me, please? And in a social situation, that's embarrassing, isn't it, George? The handshake breaks, the name drops to the floor. You're looking at the person, you can't remember their name. Zig Ziglar tells us this. People, Oscar, do not care how much we know until they first know what? How much you care. They don't care how much you know about your product or your service or your business until they first know how much you care about them, at least according to Zig Ziglar. And Zig Ziglar goes on to say one of the best ways, and Doug, one of the easiest ways to show somebody that you care about them is to do what? Remember their name. It's their favorite subject. It's the sweetest sound of their ear. In a business environment, when somebody gives you their name, what they're giving you is a pearl of wisdom. And if you take that pearl of wisdom, you can use it to your advantage. So Oscar, when you see them 6 months later at the grocery store, you can recall their name, right? Anybody in here in the real estate business, anybody sells homes? Okay, somebody sells homes, and there she is, Edwina. You sell homes. You sell somebody a nice home, and 6 months later, you're at the grocery store, and they say, Edwina, how are you doing? Edwina, I love the home. The neighborhood is great. The yard is great. The school district. Edwina, you remember me, don't you? Right? You're thinking, I remember that commission check I got. Trying to think of your name right now. That person, according to Brian Tracy, has a sphere of influence or a referral base of 260 people. He says whenever you can see Mitch 6 months from now, say, Mitch, of course I remember you. How you doing? By the way, how's Elizabeth and Glenn? Something magical happens. You're no longer the person who sold them a home or sold them a car or sold them insurance. You are their friend. And when you become their friend, you almost earn the right to tap into that referral base or that sphere of influence of 260 people.
Don't forget, we'll be right back.
Now, here's the good news. Joshua, here's the good news. I didn't get you in this room today to show you how smart I am, right? I got you in this room today to show you how smart, Andromeda, you are. Every single person in here has this ability. The problem is you haven't released it. You don't know that you have the ability, or probably you don't know that you have the ability. You do. I did a radio show a couple years ago, and there was a disc jockey named Jay Charles. And Juanita, Jay Charles wrote out 50 numbers on a sheet of paper, 50. He wrote out 50 numbers. And as he wrote out those 50 numbers, he told his audience what we were doing. He says, I've got a guy here in my studio. His name is Ron White, and he's a memory expert. I'm going to hand him these 50 numbers, and then I'm going to play a song on the air. As I play this song, he's going to memorize them. We're going to come back after the break of the song, and he's going to say these 50 numbers forwards, and then he's going to say these 50 numbers backwards. So we did that. He wrote out the numbers. We played a song. We went back live on the air, and Kim, I said those 50 numbers forwards, and then I set them backwards. You know something Jay Charles didn't know. You know, I didn't have to look at them, did I? I felt like I was cheating there at the break. You know, I was looking at those numbers. I was like, this is too easy. I handed back the numbers. We went live on the air. I said it forwards and backwards. The first words out of Jay's mouth were, he looked at me, and he goes, Ron, you're incredible. And I said, you're right. And he looked at me like, and you're a jerk, too. And I said, Jay, before you kick me out of your studio for thinking that I'm incredible, and believe me, I do. You could talk to me all day and not convince me otherwise. But, Jay, I think I'm incredible because I know something about you, whether you know it or not. I know something about the people driving around the city of Waco, whether they know it or not. They could read a Shakespearean soliloquy. They could read a poem. They could memorize a chapter of a book. They could take a new job and memorize their product knowledge. They could go to a Zig Ziglar or Brian Tracy or Jim Rohn seminar and memorize it point by point, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and 6 weeks later. Because they have that ability, Marshall, and I'm equal to them, no greater or no less, and that's pretty incredible that they can do that, wouldn't you agree? Because I'm equal to them, no greater or no less, I'm incredible as well. There are three things that you need to memorize anything. Write these down if you would. The first is a file. You need a place to store the information. Your mind needs a place to go to retrieve the information. Here's the analogy. Let's say that, Lance, I go into your office or I go into your home and I get your set of file cabinets, Bob, and I get those file cabinets and I bring them into this room, and Liz, I dump those file cabinets on the floor and all those files go everywhere. Linda, the files are just scattered around the floor of this room, right? Linda's thinking, this makes sense. It's the first thing you said that made sense all day. I've got to disorganize. That's how my office looks too, Linda. All those files are scattered around on the floor, right? 3 years from now, 4 years from now, Justin, you need the Jones file. You need the Anderson file. What do you normally do, Caleb? You normally go over to the computer, don't you, and pull up the file. Or you'll normally go to the file cabinet, Christy. Not in this scenario, because the memory guy's throwing all your files on the floor, right? So you know what you do, George? You get down on your hands and knees, and you sort through all the information. It may take you a while, but eventually you'll find it. Here's the analogy. How many times have you met somebody, Jennifer? You can't remember their name, right? Oh, gee, I'm sorry. I remember your face. I don't remember your name. I can't think of it. You're driving home. 2 hours later, what happens? Yeah. Your mind goes, hey, Carrie, you want the name now? I'm thinking, no, I don't want the name now, actually. I wanted it 2 hours ago when I was with the person, but thank you very much. Or you'll be asleep and dead at night, and it'll wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, that was Diana. Or you're a student. You study for a test. You can't think of the answers, and you walk down the hall. Donna, what happens? the answers pop in your head. How do we avoid that? We avoid that by taking the information that we want to recall and we put it in a mental file folder. All of your names are in files for me. I'm looking at my file right now and I'm calling you by your name, Gary. Bob, I'm looking at my file and I'm calling you by your name. Pick a number, Anita, between 1 and 20. Any number, random number. 17. The 17th pair of numbers was 36. Or if you want to look at the other way, and that 40-digit number, 17 was the 12th pair. You actually gave me a number, 17. Joe, pick a number between 1 and 20 and say it loud. 15. The 15th pair of numbers was 15, right? That was quite a coincidence. Liz, pick a number between 1 and 20. Say it loud.
3.
The third pair of numbers on that list was 19. Danny, last one. Pick a number between 1 and 20. Anything, a random number.
18.
The 18th pair of numbers was 24. Now, what am I doing? You know what I'm doing other than freaking you out? You know what I'm doing? I am accessing my mental files. I have 300 files in my head. Brett, you mentioned you like to memorize scripture. Well, you could put scripture on your files if you wanted. You could put product knowledge. You could put sales training. You could go to Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar, Jim Rohn. Listen to them speak, and as you're listening to them speak, you put them on your files. We're going to build files here in your mind in just a minute, so don't try to figure out what a file is. But let me ask you this question. What is the first thing you need to memorize anything? Say it with me. File. Very good.
Maximize your memory. We'll be right back.
The second thing you need to memorize something is a picture. Whatever you want to recall, it needs to be a picture. You have to be able to see it. I used the analogy earlier. You remember a face and not a name because you saw the face. You never saw the name. The mind remembers what it sees. So whatever we want to see, it has to be a picture. These numbers on the sheet of paper, 7581-1963-33-7737-2142, those were pictures for me, okay? I turned them into pictures and I place them in my files. So what's the first two things you need to memorize anything? Say them with me. File, picture. Number three, the third ingredient to memorizing anything. And when I say anything, it could be a speech. I'm giving a speech right now. You think I'm not using notes. Believe me, Diana, I would not get you in this room and waste your time if I didn't have my speech prepared and on notes. I have notes, Marshall. You just can't see them. File's the first one. What's the second one?
Picture.
The third ingredient to memorize anything is glue, okay? You need glue to keep that picture, Jamie, inside of the file. Now, say them with me. What are the three things you need to memorize anything? File, picture, glue. Now, you say, well, Ron, what in the world is glue? Let me ask you this question. How many of you in here, you've heard of that website, those like classmates.com and that kind of stuff where they, you know what I'm talking about? Where you, if you haven't heard of it, basically what they do is there's this website and you can go to it and you can register there and you find the year you graduated, the school you graduated from, and Andromeda, you will enter your information. Tell them what you're doing now. Well, my name is Ron and this is what I'm doing for a living now. And the other people that you graduated with can go to that same website and y'all can keep in touch with each other, right? Well, I went to that website, and whenever I tell people, Kim, that I teach memory seminars for a living, Jeremy, they always say, oh, cool. What else do you do? I'm like, that's it. That's all I do. And they're like, you can make a living doing that? I'm like, yes, you can, believe it or not. Everybody needs to improve their memory. Whenever I tell people, Bob, that I teach memory seminars, they don't often believe it. So on classmates.com, Katie, I typed in there. I travel around the country with a clan of gypsies and we sell old socks from socks that we find. That's my job description on classmates. But obviously it's not true, but it's just as strange as teaching people how to improve their memory, right, Jamie? So I type that in there and I get an email from a girl, you know, and she said, Ron, or Ronnie, which is my real name. She said, Ronnie, I can't believe that we didn't know each other. We were in all the same activities in school. We were in the Spanish club. We were in the computer club. We were in Future Business Leaders of America. We were in the chess club. Yes, that was very cool. We were in all these clubs together, yet I don't know you. And I was astonished, too. I emailed her back and said, Heidi, I can't believe it. I don't know you either. Heidi and I communicated for about 2 weeks, and then finally, Erica, my curiosity got up. Who's this girl that I'm communicating with? I went and found my high school annual, Tom. I opened it up, and it was Heidi, a girl who sat beside me my entire senior year of English and my entire junior year of Spanish, yet well over a decade later, we were communicating through email, and I told her, I don't know who you are. 2 years I sat beside this girl. Why did I not remember her name? What's the last ingredient in your memory? It's file, picture, and then what?
Glue.
The reason I didn't remember Heidi and the reason she didn't remember me is there was no glue for us. This is what you're going to find hard to believe. Lindsay, when I tell you this, you're just going to shock your senses. But if you can get past what I'm about to tell you that's going to shock you so much, then the rest of this seminar is going to be, it's going to be a breeze, okay? This is what's going to shock you. Heidi Parkins didn't remember me, and Brett, one of the reasons she didn't remember me, I'm guessing, is because back in high school, Elizabeth, I wasn't exactly one of the cool people. Right? Look at the astonishment on your faces. Right? And I know what you're thinking. Donna's looking at me and her eyes are wide open, her jaw's dropped, and she's saying, but Ron, you are so cool now. Right? And you're right, I am, but this is just something brand new I've come up with in just the past 6 weeks. The people who met me before, they're like, wow, he's a lot cooler than he used to be. There's glue, right? There was no glue for Heidi. There was guys that she went to high school with that she could probably remember their name today, right? But Ronnie White wasn't one of them. And I hate to break the news to Heidi. There was girls that I can remember their names back in high school. They did not even talk to me, okay? And I can tell you their names. They still don't talk to me, okay? And I can still tell you their names. Because there is what? Glue. Say the three things you need to memorize anything. Number one is what?
File.
Number two?
Picture.
Number three?
Glue.
Which one of these three did I spend the most time explaining?
Glue.
Why did I spend the most time explaining glue? Because it is the most important. It's the most crucial ingredient in your memory. You're going to know your files. Hopefully, you're going to know your pictures. The glue is the most essential part of this memory system.
Maximize your memory. We'll return.
We need files to memorize something. So I'm going to give you 10 files. You're going to take these files with you wherever you go. Okay? These are going to be permanent files. You're going to use these files to give speeches without notes, memorize chapters of books. When I was introduced, maybe they said it might change your life. You know what? I cannot imagine giving a speech as a professional speaker and not using files. I cannot imagine being a student and taking a test and not using files. The reason I can't is because it's become such a part of my life, and I hope it becomes part of your life. Everybody stand up, if you would, please. Now, you don't know, you're going to feel a little bit silly doing what we're about to do, but just trust me, okay? I've been doing this for 14 years. It's all going to come out and make sense at the end, okay? I want everybody to point to the top of your head. We are building files right now. I want everybody to point to the top of your head and say, number one is top.
Top.
Everybody point to your nose and say, number two is nose.
Number two is nose.
Everybody point to your mouth and say, number three is mouth.
Number three is mouth.
What's one?
Top.
Two?
Nose.
Three?
Mouth.
I got a little 3-year-old cousin. Every time I do this, I feel like I'm talking to her. Top, nose, mouth, okay. Number four is your ribs. What's four?
Ribs.
What's three?
Mouth.
What's two?
Nose.
One?
Top.
Four?
Ribs.
Call them what I call them. The reason for that will make sense later. Number five, well, or it might not, but still call them what I call them, okay? Number five is your liver, okay? It's right here. Number five is your liver. So what's five?
Liver.
So let's say them together. One,
top,
two,
nose,
three,
mouth,
four,
ribs,
five.
Liver.
Number six is your hip joint. Hit right here, hip joint. We're just going to call it joint. So Andromeda, number six is joint. What's six?
Joint.
What's one?
Top.
Two?
Nose.
Three?
Mouth.
Four?
Ribs.
Five?
Liver.
Six?
Joint.
Number seven, it's our kneecap, but we're just going to call it cap. So what's seven?
Cap.
Okay. Number eight, there's two bones in the bottom part of your leg, right there under your kneecap. What are those two bones? Tibula and fibula. We got a doctor in the house over here, right, Mitch? Very good. Our number eight file is going to be fibula. So what's eight?
Fibula.
What's seven?
Cap.
Six?
Joint.
Five,
liver,
four,
ribs,
three,
mouth,
two,
nose,
one,
top,
eight.
Cap.
All right. I'm trying to throw you off, and I did. That's good. Okay. Number five,
liver,
four,
ribs,
seven.
Cap.
Now, here's a way, Steve, to memorize the numbers, okay? I'm throwing them kind of quick at you. Number one, to have a little bit of fun with you. Number two, to be a jerk. I think it's kind of fun, right? Having fun with you. I'm just kidding. There's how many files are going to be, did I say, we're going to have on our body?
Ten.
Danny, where's number five? It's right in the middle, right? Liver. It's right in the middle. So if I say number seven, you just start at middle, right? Which is here. So it's an easy way to get to the numbers. A little trick there. Number nine, it's the ball of our foot, but we're just going to call it ball. So what's nine?
Ball.
Ball. All right. Number 10, it's on the ground, but we're not going to call it the ground. We're going to call it the sand. Okay? So number 10, what's our 10th file?
Sand.
Okay, now we got 10 files. Let's say them together. Number 1, 2,
nose,
3,
mouth,
4,
ribs,
5,
liver,
6,
joint,
7,
calf,
8,
tibula,
9,
ball,
and 10.
Sand.
10,
sand,
9,
ball,
8,
tibula,
7,
calf,
6,
joint,
5,
liver,
4,
ribs,
3,
mouth,
2,
nose,
1.
Top.
Very good. Everybody give your hands a hand. You can sit down. Okay, y'all can sit down. Don't make me call off all your names to make you sit down, all right? So once is all you get on that. Now, these are files. This is a way to memorize information. If you can do that, and all of you can, right? If you can do that, you can go on television and break a Guinness World Record for memory. You really can. Now, if you do that, though, I will come back and shatter your record. So, okay, just keep that in mind, all right?
Please stay tuned for more with Ron White.
I'm going to give y'all a quiz, and y'all are going to memorize these 10 words that I'm going to give you, Juanita, using your what?
Files,
your body files. I'm going to give you 10 pictures, Linda. You're going to take these 10 pictures, and you're going to put them on your body in the order that I give them to you, but you're going to attach them with what? What do you think it is? File picture then what?
Glue.
You better believe it. Number one, what's your first file?
Top.
The picture that we want to recall is a tomato. It's a tomato. Now, Emmy, I know you're not writing this down because you look so nice and honest and you would never write anything down. You understand this is a memory seminar, right? But I do see one or two people sitting around you who are writing this stuff down. Do not write it down, right? We're going to test your memory. Don't make me come take away your pens, and believe me, I will do that. I'll take it and break it in half if I have to, okay? Do not write this down. You're going to use your memory. Number one. Top of our head. I want you to see a tomato. Here's the file at the top of our head. The picture is a tomato. Now, if we just sit a tomato up there, there is no what?
Glue.
We have to use action, Andromeda. We have to use emotion. We have to use glue is the story that you create to tie the two together. Here's the picture of a tomato. Top of our head is the file. How would you put those two together with glue? Anybody? Smash it on the top of your head. All right, Oscar. I like you got a wild imagination there, right? You take that tomato and you smash it on the top of your head. I want everybody to visualize a tomato right now, Gary, getting smashed on your head. I want you to see those tomatoes. Can you feel the juices running down the side of your face, right? Number two, see it. Don't just say it. Number two, what's your file?
Nose.
I want y'all to see a telephone on your nose. What kind of phone do y'all want to see? Anything. Say anything. Cell phone? The what? Cell phone. Okay, cell phone. I want you to see a cell phone on your number two file, which is your nose. So, Katie, I got a cell phone over here, and it's ringing off the hook. Who do y'all want calling on the other end of the line? Your mama. Okay, all right. All right. Who said that? Blair? All right. Blair's mom's calling on the other end of the line. She says, I answered the phone. Hello? This is Blair's mama. He never calls me anymore. Why is he not calling me anymore? I'm sorry, Blair's mama, but he's in a memory seminar right now. He'll have to call you back later. I take that picture and shove it up my nose, okay? So what's going up my nose?
Cell phone.
What's on the top of my head?
Tomato.
See it. Don't just say it. You have to see these things or it's not going to work. Number three, what's our third file?
Mouth.
I want you to see a clock. What kind of clock do you want to see?
Grandfather
clock. Somebody said a cuckoo clock. Okay. How would you put a cuckoo clock or a grandfather clock, Oscar, in your mouth? How would you do that with glue? I've opened the mouth and the cuckoo comes out. And Linda said cuckoo and she's looking at me too. So I don't know if that's the cuckoo bird, Ron. I'm thinking of cuckoo right now. Okay, you open up your mouth, Bob. And as you open up your mouth, that bird shoots out. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Every time I open up my mouth, cuckoo. What's coming out, George? Cuckoo, right? Okay. Y'all have a straitjacket for me at the break, aren't you? Okay, at the next show. Okay, number four, what is it?
Ribs.
I want you to see a mobile gas station. You know Exxon Mobil, the mobile gas station? I want you to see a mobile gas station on your ribs. How would you put that there with glue in action? How would you do that? Files are ribs. Mobile gas station is our picture. How do you tie those two together? Gas pump coming out of your ribs. All right, Liz. Liz has got a good imagination. Liz, I got that gas pump. And you stick it in right here and you're gassing up your ribs and the gas is shooting out. Can you smell that smell when you gas, you know? Yeah. You think it's the memory guy, you remember everything. I've ran out of gas twice in the same day before, okay? I've done that twice in my life, okay? If I use a memory system, I'll put it up against Rain Man. If I don't, I have a very absent-minded memory. And that's why it's so remarkable that I actually do what I do for a living. But I'm using a system, and I'm teaching you. I know how gas smells on your hands, Kim, because I've had to use those gas cans like that more times than I would like to. I want you to smell that gas smell on your ribs. I want you to see that gas pump going in here. What's going in? Mobile gas station. What's going in here? What's on your mouth? What's on your nose? What's on the top of your head? Number five, we've got a reward poster. Wanted, dead or alive. Jamie, how much money are we hunting you down for?
$10
million. All right, okay. There's no self-esteem problem here, right? Okay. $10 million wanted, dead or alive. Jamie, we got Mitch, we got that wanted poster right there, and it's stapled to his liver. So what's stapled right here? See it. Visualize it. It's the key to your memory, Arn. Number six, what's your file?
Joint.
Very good. Asia, I want you to see a goalpost, like on a football field, a goalpost. How would you put a goalpost on your joint with glue? How about this? How about we've got a goalpost sticking out of your joint right here, Butch, and what's going through that goalpost? Football. There you go. You're watching a Dallas Cowboy football game, and you got the goalpost right there, and Cundiff lines up, and if Cundiff kicks it through, we're going to make the Super Bowl, and if he doesn't, we miss. He kicks, and he does what? No, he doesn't miss. Okay, all right. We're supposed to use our imagination, okay? In Dallas, we're supposed to know what that looks like, a field goal going through there. So what's right here?
Maximize your memory. We'll be right back.
Number seven, what's our file?
Cap.
All right, I want you to visualize an efficiency apartment on your kneecap. You know what, a studio apartment, a real small apartment? I used to live in an efficiency apartment in Houston, and that thing was so small, I could stand in the shower, flush the toilet, and put something in the microwave all at the same time. Okay? So I don't want to wish that on anybody, but I could. I hope you know what an efficiency apartment is, too. I want you to look down here, Jennifer, on your kneecap. And down there on your kneecap, I want you to see a refrigerator, a stove, or a microwave. Maybe you open that refrigerator up, and you get yourself a drink of lemonade. You open that microwave up, and you put a sandwich in there to heat it up. What's on your kneecap? What's on your joint? What's on your mouth? What's on your nose? What's on your one? Number eight. What's our eight file?
Tibula.
Anybody call off a word, any word. I don't care what it is. Say it loud. Scuba diving. Okay, very good, Amber. Are you a scuba diver? Very good. I want you to see scuba diver, and that scuba diver's going down, and he's looking there in your fibula. You're standing in water up to your fibula, and a scuba diver's down there investigating your fibula. You got scuba divers all around your fibula. So what's on number eight?
Scuba divers.
Number nine, what is it?
Ball.
On number nine, Erica, I want you to see an organizer. You know, a daytimer, a planner. How would y'all put an organizer on the ball of your foot with glue? How would y'all do that? The what?
Stomping on it.
All right. There's some anger coming out, Lindsay, there. All right. We got another seminar for that. You've got anger, right? Stomp it on your organizer, right? You're stomping. Maybe the rings, you know, in the organizer. Maybe as you're stomping on it, Lindsay, they cut you, right? Now you got an organizer stuck in the bottom of your foot, right? What's in the bottom of your foot? What's on your fibula? What's on seven?
Efficiency.
What's on six? Five, four, number three, number two, and number one. Okay, number 10, the very last one. What is y'all's favorite sports team? Anybody, favorite sports team? Mavericks, okay. What did you say, Jennifer?
Stars,
okay. Dallas Stars, Dallas Mavericks, the Texas Rangers. Obviously, it's a Dallas crowd, right? Whatever you want, though. You can. I know this isn't nice to say, but your favorite team could be the Philadelphia Eagles or the Washington Redskins, if you want, or the New York Giants. It doesn't matter. Whatever your favorite sports team is, I want you to see that down there. Perhaps it's the Denver Broncos, the Seattle Seahawks, right? Doesn't matter what it is, the Dodgers. I want you to see your favorite. It could be a little league team. I got a friend whose favorite team is a high school football team, okay? So put your favorite sports team on the ground right there. Maybe you're getting their autograph or you're throwing them a football. Can y'all look at the sand down there? What are y'all seeing down there in the sand?
Sports team.
What do we put on number one?
Tomato.
What do we put on 10? What do we put on our liver?
One.
What do we put on six?
Goal.
What do we put on seven? Efficiency apartment. What do we put on 8? What do we put on 9? What do we put on 5? What do we put on 4? 3? 2? 1? Okay, somebody who has a lot of a voice as I do. I've taught seminars in Singapore before, Glenn, and my voice is so loud, I taught those from Dallas. Okay, so I need one person who can speak loudly to stand up and say all 10 of these items. One person can do it. I know you can. I got full confidence in you. Okay, we have a volunteer over here. He's going to say all 10 of them. So, Jamie, if you would, stand up, no pressure, right, and say all 10 of those items.
Okay, number 1 is tomato, number 2 is cell phone, number 3 is cuckoo clock, number 4 is mobile, number 5 is reward poster, number 6 is goal poles, number 7 is efficiency apartment, number 8 is scuba divers, number 9 is organizers, and number 10 is Dallas Stars.
Very good. Hey! And they're clapping because you did it and they didn't have to do it. That's why they're clapping. They could care less you got it right. They're like, yeah, Jamie, thank you. You know what I just did to Jamie? And I just kind of a surprise. I probably should have told somebody before that I was going to do that so they could be prepared. But you know what I just did to Jamie? I put him in a stressful situation, didn't I? A room full of strangers. I asked somebody for a volunteer. And it's being filmed nonetheless, too, right? Jamie was put in a stressful situation. What do you think is the worst enemy to your memory?
Stress,
you better believe it. It's by far the worst enemy to your memory. When you find yourself in a stressful situation in life, sometimes when something happens with a close family member or something like that, people tell me, they'll say, Ron, my memory is so horrible right now. The reason it's horrible is because of stress. A student will go in and take the test. They can't think of the answer. They're walking down the hall, and what happens? We talked about it earlier. What happens? Comes to them. Blair, you know why it didn't come to them when they were in there? Stress. The stress of the test, right? Christy, I see you at the grocery store or the gas station. I can't remember your name. 2 hours later when I'm driving home, the reason my name pulls up your memory, number one, it was in there, right? It was on the floor of my mind. It just wasn't in a file cabinet. Everything you've ever seen, heard, or done is still in your memory. In other words, stuff doesn't go in one ear and come out the other, and as much as you want to say that it does or you feel like it does, it doesn't. It goes in. It stays there. Now, here's the question, Mitch. Does it stay on the floor of your mind? Or does it stay in a file cabinet? If it is in a file cabinet, then when you're put in a stressful situation, such as standing up in front of a room full of 50 strangers, or taking a test, or remembering a person's name, if you're in that stressful situation, it doesn't matter because the information is on a file and you just move down your files. However, if the information is on the floor of your mind and you have to give a speech without notes or memorize chapters of a book or memorize information from a seminar, it is going to be a stressful situation. And Steve, you might not get it right because there's no filing system.
Stay tuned. There's more to come.
Number one fear in America is the fear of public speaking. Number two is the fear of death. I guess that means if you're going to a funeral, more people would rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy, right? So when Seinfeld said it, everybody laughed. All right. When the memory guy does, nobody. But the point is this. When you can give a speech without notes, your credibility goes through the roof and it builds your confidence and you overcome. One of the ways I overcome my fear of public speaking, people must say, Ron, you must not get nervous on stage, or you must not be awkward speaking in public. On the contrary, I get nervous and I get a little flustered sometimes. And you know how I combat that? I combat that through being extremely well prepared. My goal is to be better prepared than any speaker. My goal is to have every aspect of my speech memorized and placed on my body files. And that's how I overcome my nervousness of speaking. Linda, let's say that I'm not going to ask you to do this, so don't stress out here, okay? Just be calm when I'm about to say. But let's pretend like in 3 minutes I was going to have you come up here on this stage and I was going to have you give a talk on how we could all produce more in our job, how we could increase our productivity. If that question is asked of most people, right, what do they do? Let's say maybe it's not in 3 minutes. Let's say it's in 3 days. They'll go home, right, Bob? And they'll write out, okay, this is what I want to talk about in my speech, which is fine. I do that as well. I write out what I want to talk about. This is how each and every one of you is going to use memory training from now on to give a speech without notes. Okay, Justin, you're going to go home and you're going to write down your speech, right? You're going to write it out, bullet points, the main ideas, not word for word, the bullet points of what you want to talk about. Then the night before, Tony, Stuart, Tony, Stuart, okay. Tony, the night before, you're going to turn that bullet point into a picture, and you're going to place that picture on your what?
Body list,
okay? Then you're going to give that speech without notes. You're going to come up here, and you're going to say, "Hi, guys. My name's Linda. I'm happy to be here today. I'm happy that all of y'all are here. Let's step away from the speech a little second. This isn't part of Linda's speech. Let me ask y'all this question. What section of the grocery store do you find tomatoes in?
Produce.
Very good. I did this seminar recently, and some guy said,
in the corner.
So it is in the corner typically, but that's not a section, okay? So we take an abstract word of produce. We turn that into a picture of what? Tomatoes. And we place it on our file, and we give this speech without notes. We say, "Guys, my name's Linda, and I've been called here today to talk about how we can all produce more, how we can increase our productivity. I know we all have some good ideas, so let's get those ideas out on the table. The first thing that I want to talk about today is our telephone skills. One of the first impressions people often get of our company is often via the what? Telephone. You better believe it. They're responding to our marketing material. The telephone is an essential part of any business. Or perhaps it's simply making the dials, right, in a marketing call. You move down to your next point. What do you think you're going to talk about on your mouth?
Time management.
You better believe it, Marshall. We're all given the same 24 hours in a day, yet it seems that Danny is getting so much more accomplished in his day than I'm getting accomplished in my day. We all have the same amount of time. That's not the problem in life. The problem is managing that time. Let's take some time management classes. Let's find out what the successful people like Teresa do with their time and how they're so successful at that. You say rewards, right, Anita? And the head guy stands up and cuts you off and says, "Anita, we'll talk about reward and incentives programs later, right? Move on to your next point." What do, Amber? You've lost your place on your notes, right? The head guys just cut you off, Andromeda. You can't find it. Not anymore, though, right? You just go to your next point. What's your next point? Goals. Guys, we need to set corporate goals and team goals. We need to break those goals down into easy, manageable steps with deadlines and timelines. Guys, we must set goals, or to take the Zig Ziglar class perhaps on setting goals. And one part of setting goals, and I think it should be right up there at the top, is improving our efficiency. You better believe it. Perhaps there's some things that we can streamline, or the things that we can improve to increase our efficiency. Becoming more organized might be one of those things. And guys, I want to tell you something. Some of you, is all work and no play, right, Amber? All you ever do is work, 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 work. Even Einstein, who contributed more to society than perhaps anybody in the history of time, he took time out for play. Maybe for you, it's going scuba diving. There you go. All right. It's the best I can do with that, Amber. There you go. Go scuba diving. Play. For me, it's going to a baseball game. For you, it might be a football game, but don't make it all work and no play. Yes, we want to produce more, but part of producing more is taking breaks for ourselves and rewarding ourselves with stuff like going scuba diving in Cancun. Now, guys, not only do we want to have fun, and not only do we want to increase our efficiency and our goal setting, but we also want to work on our organization, right? Why do you call they call an organization, Jennifer? Hopefully because it's
organized.
But if we do all of those things together and we do not work as a team, we're going to get nothing accomplished. Everybody give Linda a hand on her speech. She did a very good job there.